Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to OBC on this first Sunday of Advent. Whether you're here with us in person or joining us online, we're grateful to have you with us. Please stand and join us as we begin our worship service.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday of Advent, we rejoice in the promise that you have come, that you will come again. You are the God who dwells in the midst of your people, the God who draws near with mercy, grace, and steadfast love. As we gather in your presence today, fill our hearts with the hope that comes from Christ alone, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. In a world that longs for peace and restoration, turn our eyes towards your Son, the light who shines in the darkness, the King who has come to redeem his people. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to your word, steady our spirits in your promises, kindle in us the hope that does not fade. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior and coming King. Amen.
The advent of our God, with eager hearts he greets, and we must praise him in this song, with hymns and anthems sweet. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us Spirit, ever one through all eternity.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. As we celebrate the four Sundays of Advent, we rejoice in the great gift that is ours in Jesus Christ. Our celebration includes the lighting of a candle in the Advent wreath. Each candle signifies that Jesus is the light of the world, while the evergreens remind us that he is life and he brings life to us. All these are arranged. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. We read in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:12-13. On this, the first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope, because he is our hope, today and forever. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Please stand and join us as we continue in worship. O come, Emmanuel.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that we get to gather again here on the Lord's Day, on the first Sunday of Advent. And during this Christmas season, during the first Sunday of Advent, we are reminded of hope. Father God, we live in a world where a lot of people feel hopeless. They feel discouraged. They feel they have lost all sense of hope, not knowing what the future is going to be like. We live in a world filled with tribulation, and people face anxiety every day. Father, I pray that you would remind us of the hope that we have and our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God, you're the God of hope. You fill us with hope. And through our faith, through our relationship with you, you have given us what true hope looks like, that we have received the eternal gift of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And we know the promise of the things that are yet to come, that for those who are in Christ, we get to be with you for all eternity. That is our hope. And not only that, we also, as we live in this life, we are reminded of our blessed hope, which is the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he came 2,000 years ago first in his first advent, but we also know that he will return again and take us with him. So, Father, fill us with hope. And even though we face hardship, even when we see loved ones suffer, we are reminded from your word that we do not need to grieve as those who have no hope. So, Father, if there are people here, brothers and sisters here, who are lacking hope, would you please remind them of that truth? Father, we pray for our Cantonese brothers and sisters in Christ as they may be grieving over what's been happening in Hong Kong, especially with the fire in some of the apartments. We pray for them that you would comfort them even during this time of grief. Be with those who have been affected by such disaster and tragedy, especially those who lost loved ones, those who lost their livelihood due to this fire. Father, please give them hope during this Christmas season. Give them peace even as they mourn and grieve. And may your people be there to reach out to them and to proclaim the gospel to them, to offer them peace. Peace with Jesus, and give them hope. Help them to turn from their sins. Help them to turn in faith to Jesus. Father, I pray for our church family. Thank you for all the ministries that are happening. We pray that you would continue to help us to persevere in our service to you. We know that you will not overlook the work that we do in the way we love your people. Please help us to be faithful unto death. And no matter what, help us to continue to serve faithfully, knowing that God, you are our Lord, and we worship you, and we do it as an act of worship, not to benefit ourselves, but to see that your glory shine in our lives and in this church family. Help us to also be ready for the things that are yet to come in our neighborhood, as Oak Ridge Park is hopefully nearing its completion, as been predicted in 2026. Father, we know that there will be many people moving into this neighborhood, so help us to be ready to welcome them. Help us to be ready to offer them the gospel. Help us to be ready to connect with these folks. Lord, we desire to see your church grow in maturity. And not only that, but Lord, if it is your will, would you please multiply us numerically? And so, God, as we continue in our praise and worship, help us to focus our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand and join us as we continue in our worship service. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace As we continue in worship, we remember that the Advent is a season of hope, grounded in the truth that God has come to us in Christ, that he has called us to himself with the blessed hope of his soon return. Let's sing Glorious Calling.
Let me be a living sacrifice, holy, precious vessel in your sight. For your grace abounding in my darkest hour fills me every day with your almighty power. Lord, I lift my hands and give you praise. Your throne all everlasting days. Glorious calling, you are making all things new. Pressing on, Jesus, pressing on to you. Lead me, Jesus, loving Savior. I will follow. For your grace abounding in my darkest hour fills me every day with your almighty power. Lord, I lift my hands and give you praise. To your throne on everlasting days, glorious call. Pressing on, Jesus, pressing on to you. Lead me, Jesus, loving Savior, I will follow you. Lead me, Jesus, loving Savior, I will follow.
May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus. So glad to decide to join us this morning on the first Sunday of Advent. Just want to say in advance, Merry Christmas. And if you don't know me, I'm Tommy, one of the pastors here at this church. And I encourage you after this service to join us for a time of fellowship. And at this time, I'm going to invite the children to dismiss the children for their Sunday school program. And so if you have children from kindergarten to grade six, you can meet with Allison on the side. And then we'll pray for them. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the children in our midst. We thank you that Jesus, you love children. And then you said in your word that let the children come to me and let us not hinder them. So Father, I pray that you will use this time for the teachers and the assistants to help the students, help the children understand your word, so that at a young age they may confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So please, Lord, use this time to help them to understand your word and give the teachers the joy to teach the children. And even now, as we later on about to open up your word and hear your word here in this service, we pray that you will speak to us, that our hearts will be receptive to you as Pastor Samson is going to deliver your word. Pray that you will be with him, that you would give him the clarity and the words and the accuracy to proclaim your word, and so that we will not just be hearers of the word, but to be also be a doer of your word. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before I invite Pastor Samson to come up, I just want to say Pastor Samson and I are switching services today. So he usually preaches in the Cantonese service, and today I'm preaching in the Cantonese service in Cantonese. So that's the plan. I will not have translators during that time. So you can pray for mercy. I'm very grateful for Pastor Samson and how he ministered to us, and he's been with us for a while, and so it gives me a privilege to welcome him to the pulpit in the English service. So Pastor Samson, come up and preach God's word to us.
Good morning, everyone. I feel privileged to be called to preach today. As you all know, that today is the first Sunday of Advent, marking the start of a new faith journey. Let's prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And my sermon today is based on a powerful story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And it's only recorded by Luke, doesn't appear in other three Gospels. But Luke's account is rich and instructive. According to the passage we read today, Jesus encountered with a man named Zacchaeus in the city of Jericho. And after meeting with Jesus, Zacchaeus' life had been changed forever. Who is Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is a Hebrew name meaning clean and pure. But he was a chief tax collector, and he worked for the Roman Empire. At that time in history, the land of Israel and the Jews who lived there were under Roman occupation. This means Zacchaeus was placed in a high-ranking position, and he was in charge of other tax collectors. In no doubt, Zacchaeus was rich beyond measure. He had become rich by overtaxing his fellow countrymen. In other words, Zacchaeus, as the chief tax collector, took the amount of money from more than what the Roman authorities demand in order to enrich himself. Therefore, the people of Jericho despised him. Since he worked with the Roman rulers by betraying his own people for profit, in these people's eyes, Zacchaeus was not just a sinner, he was also a traitor. He was unclean, unwelcome in the synagogue, being cut off from the community of faith. He had a lot of wealth, but his wealth had built walls surrounding him, and he even felt living in a prison of his own making. Yet, something stirred in Zacchaeus' heart, a longing to see Jesus. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing through Jericho, and he wanted to see Jesus, who he was, but he couldn't. Why? Because there was a big group of people welcoming and accompanying Jesus. The passage told us that Zacchaeus was small in stature. In other words, he was a short man. So he could not see over the crowds to get a glimpse of Jesus. Zacchaeus, however, didn't want to give up the desire to see Jesus. He did not want to let the obstacles preventing him seeing Jesus. So he did something very clever, but undignified, something completely beyond his status as a wealthy man. In verse 4, we read, "So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was about to pass that way." We find that Zacchaeus was willing to go to great lengths, even climbing a tree, like a schoolboy, right? Just want to get a glimpse of Jesus. There is a spiritual hunger in his heart. It is interesting for us to know in this story, it's not that Zacchaeus saw Jesus, but that Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Of all the people surrounding him, Jesus fixed his eyes on Zacchaeus. Please take note of what did Jesus do to enable Zacchaeus truly to see. In verse 5, we read, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.'" Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name. Jesus knew his name. Jesus didn't speak to a role or a title. He did not say, "Hello, tax man," or "Hey, you." No, Jesus directly called his name. And that matters. The Lord says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 1, "I have called you by name. You are mine." This is a powerful message from our God, indicating that he is willing to have a personal and intimate relationship with his own people. And these words offer comfort and a sense of security to people during difficult times and remind them that they are not alone and helpless. Every one of us is deeply loved and valued by God the Father. Jesus did not only call out to Zacchaeus by name. Jesus called Zacchaeus to himself. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." This is the call that every true disciples of Jesus has received. What matters first and foremost is not that we see Jesus, but that Jesus sees us. Jesus called him down with warm welcome and made plans to be with him that day. Jesus took the initiative, inviting himself to stay in Zacchaeus' home. Jesus did not see Zacchaeus as an interruption. Jesus did not make an excuse to keep a distance from Zacchaeus as others did. Jesus made himself available. Jesus made room and gave his time for Zacchaeus. And Jesus mentioned this in public. Everyone in the crowd heard what Jesus has said to Zacchaeus. And that's why the crowd start grooming. They immediately criticized Jesus and said, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." This in verse 7. They did not understand the purpose of Jesus' mission is to seek and to save the lost. We know that Zacchaeus had a lot of money. but his life was empty. In the first place, he thought and deemed that to him, money is everything. But now, having a lot of money couldn't satisfy the hunger inside him. Zacchaeus felt inferior to others. Compared with others, he was a short man. His sight was always blocked by others. Some people always feel that they are not as good as others. This kind of comparative thinking mode usually has impact on people's self-esteem. Zacchaeus also felt lonely as he found no friendship and fellowship in his hometown. Everyone feared him and stayed away from him. Loneliness, according to many experts, is not necessarily about being physically alone. Instead, if you feel alone and if you feel isolated, then that is how loneliness plays into the state of your mind. Not only that, but Zacchaeus also felt guilty. He felt guilty. Why did he feel guilty? It's because his name, Zacchaeus, means pure and clean. But whenever he pondered on this, his heart was saddened. He realized that he didn't live up to the fulfilling the meaning of this name. He's supposed to live a clean and pure life, but he didn't. Despite of the criticism from the crowds, Jesus did not back away. He stood with Zacchaeus that he had called. Jesus made eye contact with Zacchaeus and spoke to him face to face. Zacchaeus always has time for those Jesus always had time for those who need him. Even today, Jesus has time for you. And Jesus even is willing to offer his prime time for you. Zacchaeus badly needs Jesus, and so does a world that is lost and broken. In verse 8, we read, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, behold, Lord.'" Surprisingly, we find that in his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus experienced a transformation of life. First, he had a change of mind. He called Jesus his Lord. Zacchaeus didn't want to keep on being self-centered. He laid down his right and let Jesus be his boss. He acknowledged the lordship of Jesus. His attitude had been changed since encountering with Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Second, he had a change of heart. Look at what Zacchaeus continues saying. "The half of my goods I give to the poor." We remember Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Acts chapter 20, 35. Therefore, Zacchaeus was no longer a taker, but a giver. Zacchaeus used to to take and keep on taking. But now he knows that he needs to learn to be a giver, to give to others. In the past, Zacchaeus only thought about himself and concerned his own money. But now he put others in his heart. Third, he had a change of behavior. A change of behavior. Let's read on verse 8. Zacchaeus said, "If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." From the bottom of his heart, he frankly and boldly said, "If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, please help me to do the mathematics, right? How much is half of his possession given to the poor? And how much is four times restitution for everything he has stolen? Sorry, I don't think our calculation is as good as Zacchaeus. We should still remember that Zacchaeus was a money-minded person. He knew all the calculation. He knew how to maximize his earnings. He also knew how to avoid deficit, right? He surely understood what this decision would have made himself really bankrupt. But did you notice something? He didn't care. He didn't care. What he did care for is the hope he had in Jesus. Before knowing Jesus, he had no hope. But now, he found hope in Jesus. So he was willing to pay the cost for this. He was really a true disciple of Jesus because he followed the teachings of Jesus. He really put the words of Jesus in practice. No wonder Jesus responded with a clear declaration. That must have made heaven rejoice. In verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." Son of Abraham. That means Zacchaeus was not outcast, not disconnected, not sinner and prisoner. He was saved and redeemed, restored, and he was brought home. The Apostle Paul clearly says, "If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. This man's life was radically transformed because, first, he had a change of mind. Second, he had a change of heart. And third, he had a change of behavior. Jesus turned his darkness into light. Jesus brought eternal hope to him as he called Jesus his Lord. Let's make a reflection on this. Today, if you humbly call Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord, in your heart, you will experience the same joy and peace that Zacchaeus had. What we need to do is just repent and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Then we will be forgiven. Transformation through and in the Holy Spirit will happen to you, and a new life will be granted to you. Someone may still think and talk to himself or herself that, oh, I am a bad guy, and I am not good enough to receive the love of Jesus, and Jesus may not welcome me. If some of you have this kind of thought, please consider this. On that day in Jericho, Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus, the man who had hidden himself on the tree, to clean up his wrongdoings in the past. Jesus met with Zacchaeus right where he was. In the eyes of Jesus, you are beloved and valuable. And on the cross, Jesus gave his precious life for you. In conclusion, Jesus announced his mission statement. That's very important and crucial statement. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's in verse 10. Jesus is a seeker and a saver of those who are lost. I always hear someone say this word, to be lost means to be warned. To be lost means to be warned. What does it mean? Let me explain it this way. When we describe something as being lost, we actually placing value on it, right? For example, you have some garbage to get rid of, and you don't care whether the garbage will be lost. But if you have an expensive wearable watch, you will take extra care to keep it safe. The fact is, those people from whom Jesus is seeking is not garbage, but wearable. Likewise, you are wearable. We are wearable in Jesus' eyes. I remember some years ago, an elderly lady had gone missing for more than 24 hours. Her family anxiously went to everywhere to look for her. The media report the case to the public. Police helped searching for the lost. The church gathered to pray together. We thank God. Eventually, the lost was found safe by the police. What does it mean by the lost? People are lost because they are not in the right place. Just like the three outstanding illustrations given by Jesus in Luke chapter 15. And we all know about all these stories. First, the sheep was lost because it didn't stay in the right place. And the shepherd went a long way to seek and save the sheep. Second, a corn was dropped out from the chain that's supposed to put all other chains together, corns together. And that particular corn was lost. And the woman who owned these corns lit a lamp and searched the entire room and eventually found it. Third, the prodigal son found himself lost in a poor and unfriendly situation, and he was far away from his father's home. After experiencing all the hard times, the son went back to his home and only found that the door was unlocked. Unlocked. Why? Because the door had never been locked day and night since he left home. And the father had been waiting and longing for his return because the father believed that his son would come back home soon. Maybe life's troubles and burdens have become unbearable, leaving you exhausted, hopeless, and desperate. Please please know that Jesus is still seeking for you today. If you realize that you are not in the right place and you want to go back on the right track, please know that Jesus loves you and he wants to embrace you right in the spot where you are. Jesus is a seeker and saver. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Before I say the prayer, I would like to invite you to ponder on the story of Zacchaeus. Do you see anything in Zacchaeus that can reflect something inside you? Are you experiencing something just like what Zacchaeus had experienced? Think about Jesus, who's the seeker. He come to seek for you, look for you. Jesus wants to love you, embrace you, and give you a change and transformation in your life. Do you want to come to Jesus today at this time? Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to seek and to save the lost. We confess that we often hide behind leaves of fear and bunches of pride. Oh Lord Jesus, please look up at us today and call our names again. Give us courage and strength to hurry and come down with a humble heart. Oh Lord Jesus, please come to our house. That means our habits, our thoughts, our hopes, and make yourself at home. Oh Lord Jesus, let your kindness lead us to honest confession, to generous giving, and to a new way of walking. By your word, open our eyes. By your spirit, soften our hearts. By your grace, guide our steps. O Lord Jesus, we are listening. We are ready. In our Lord Christ Jesus' gracious name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Sampson, for reminding us of that message that Jesus seeks the lost. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to invite all of us to stand up for the singing of the doxologies.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
seated. Before you're dismissed, before I invite you to Fern Hall for a time of fellowship, there are several announcements that I need to make. First announcement is regarding Monarch Place. Us as a church family, we've been continuing to support Monarch Place by donating Christmas gifts for women and children who have found safety at Monarch Place as they have fled domestic violence. And so today is the last day to bring your new and unwrapped gifts to OBC for collection. So if you have any spare time, there's information down in this direction in the foyer. If you have gifts, then please put them in a box so that they can be delivered to Monarch Place. And thank you to those who have given, and I appreciate you very much. And also, thank you to the youth, and also to the youth, to Vincent, Leo, and Jesse for, if you notice in our sanctuary, there's Christmas decoration. It's all because there's the leadership of the youth ministry. We thank you to the students who are here. So praise the Lord for that. And also, there's going to be a Christmas choir that's going to be happening on December 4th. December 11th and 18th at OBC. This is all in preparation for the Christmas Eve service that will be happening on December 24th at 6:30 p.m. And so you're welcome to join the choir. And also, another announcement is next Sunday is our first Sunday of the month, which means that we're going to be having a combined service at 10:30 a.m. with our Cantonese and Mandarin brothers and sisters. And in the leadership, well, I just want to mention, in the leadership, one of the things we want to encourage you, especially if you're a member of this church, we encourage you to bring food. Sometimes we have enough food for people, but sometimes we don't. And because we need to bring food. Especially, I encourage you to bring not just carbs, but bring meat, because that's something that's sometimes missing. So bring protein. And if you're very generous, I encourage you to bring desserts. I want to encourage you to look at our luncheon not as just merely a social function, although it's nice to have fellowship with each other, but really look at it as a spiritual function. Look at it as ministry and how you as a member can contribute and to be generous and to share with those who are in need. And this is a way for you to serve the church family. So I really encourage you to bring some food next Sunday. Especially, it's a Christmas season. Perhaps I encourage you to rise up to the occasion and bring some food for next Sunday. And having said that, there's one more announcement we're going to make, and that is there's going to be a new nursery ministry at OBC. Where God has blessed us with many young families and children in our midst here in the English ministry. And so nursery program will serve children at the ages 1 to 5, where they can play and learn about God in the nursery. And this ministry also serves with the purpose of serving the parents, young families, young parents, as it gives them an opportunity to be spiritually fed during the sermon. And so this nursery program will be led by my wife, Allison, and she will be starting it in December during the 9:30 a.m. service and also the combined service. And so parents, you can drop off your children at the nursery after the worship time, just like how we pray for our children for the Sunday school. And so similarly, we will pray also for the nursery as well. And so if you have any questions, then please contact Allison. You can reach her in an email that can be found in the bulletin. Other than that, I think that's all the announcement going to make. Is there anybody giving? Herb is giving the offering. Okay, collecting offering. So if you want to give offering, then you can meet with Herb there. He'll be collecting the offerings there. And if you want to give online, you can go up to our church website to find more information on how you can give online. So off to the side rooms, our time of fellowship in Vernon Hall. There's going to be coffee, some refreshments. I encourage you to join us for a time of fellowship. Remember to welcome one another and to greet one another, especially someone you do not know. God bless you all.